Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from AO Studio. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight. More Bush League in baseball. Caleb Williams asks for weird writers in his rookie contract, and Jordan Love will not practice until he gets his extension. But we begin today's show with the reigning NFL MVP. Training camp has just started, and Lamar Jackson is already under fire. Coach John Harbaugh defended his quarterback, who is out sick, in an almost three-minute-long rant against criticism. Despite his immense talent, Jackson is unable to go far in the playoffs. Is the criticism fair, and is Harbaugh's response fair?
Well, let's think about this. Who was the quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens when they won the Super Bowl?
Joe Flacco. And Trent Dilfer,
yes. The most recent one was Joe Flacco. So, it is not the two-time MVP, Lamar Jackson. And, you know, as prodigious of an athlete as he is, he's got to own the fact that he does not have a Super Bowl ring yet. Now, he's still young. There's still time for him to have his moment in the sun. That being said, it is absolutely fair to criticize Lamar Jackson for his failures in the postseason. Now, what do you expect John Harbaugh to do?
Right.
Quote, Lamar Jackson is going to become and be known and be recognized as the greatest quarterback to ever play in the history of the National Football League. That's the vision. That's a bit of a stretch. Like, you know, this man exists in the same multiverse as Patrick Mahomes. Like, you can't even say that Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback currently. We could probably go, what, four or five guys before we get to Lamar? Maybe? Definitely Mahomes. Burrow. Okay, maybe you can put him in, you could sneak him in at three. I mean, it's two-time MVP. Like, I think that is more than fair. I mean, do you value Rodgers? Do you value Josh Allen?
Yeah, I don't know. Are we talking about like football player? Are we talking about quarterback? I mean, I really don't. The position of quarterback. Yeah, I mean, I don't really believe in. I mean, listen, I'm a Ravens fan, but I don't believe in his ability to throw the ball downfield. Hurts has already gotten to a Super Bowl.
Fair. Stafford's won one.
Stafford's probably the. He's probably one of the best passers in the league.
Would you put Rodgers ahead of him based on track record?
No, because I don't know what Rodgers is right now. I have to see him get out there and play. Just thinking about
now,
it.
Like, hey, Coach Harbaugh was saying like they take it personally. Like, and there's the problem. Like, you're taking things personally. This is business for them. Their job, the media's job, is to
be critical. Justin Herbert might be a better passer.
Yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see that. He doesn't have the wheels that Lamar does, but not many players do.
Zach Wilson. You know, you might take. I don't know if all of our fans would agree with me, but shit, Z, I might take Brock Purdy over Lamar at this point.
Are you finally coming over?
He could just deliver he could throw the ball, man. Like he could throw the ball around the yard. Lamar is definitely a specimen. He's definitely a really amazing athlete, but Purdy got to a Super Bowl. You know?
Yeah.
Might have gotten to two if he didn't get hurt.
True. That is all very fair. So, I think fair for both. I really think so. So, because until Lamar Jackson, like, gets further than the second round of the playoffs till he slays the demons in the playoffs, till he knocks down Patrick Mahomes. To be the man, you got to beat the man. He's the regular season man. You got to be the playoff man. Mm. And I think that's kind of the problem for Lamar Jackson. And that's something that could carry around regardless of how many MVPs he stacks up, dude. He could be this generation's Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was that guy who had that monkey on his back until he won the Super Bowl. He's Steve Young. He could end up being that. He very well could never win that.
Steve Young's a little different because he had Joe.
But I'm just saying from the standpoint of not being able to get to that and then finally winning the big one. Uh-huh. So you do have that little bit of a storyline there, and both things can be true. But to be fair to Lamar Jackson, they finally got him wide receivers. Mm. They finally got him that. They tailored the offense a little bit better to his skill set. And, you know, he has delivered the goods in the regular season. So in my estimation, both the criticism is fair and Harbaugh's response is fair. But, you know, we're going to see. It was very... You know, Lamar took the high road not discussing it. He definitely is just laying low, fighting with Troy Aikman for some reason. He's they're trying to trademark a number. So, you know, there's
Aikman,
that.
After all these years, has decided he wants to make apparel with the number 8 on it. It's like, dude, like, what are you talking about?
But here's the thing. Like, from what I understand, he is trying to trademark the word 8. Lamar is trying to trademark the number 8. So that's where this is kind of like screwing around.
It's sort of a little ridiculous. I mean, when I think of 8, who do you think of when you think of the number 8?
Cal Ripken.
Yeah, me too. Cal Ripken, Kobe Bryant. I don't really think about. And if I want to go even further, Steve Young. Not really thinking about fucking Troy Aikman. And certainly not thinking about Lamar Jackson, who doesn't have done shit.
Contemporary players, I'd even throw in Alex Ovechkin.
And it's a fucking number. Oh, yeah. That's another good one. And it's a number, dude. It's a number. Anybody can trademark it. Actually, it shouldn't even be trademarkable. It's a number. Come on.
Right.
Jackie Robinson trademarked 42? If he has it, maybe I should.
Mariano Rivera might beat you to it.
Yeah. It's so stupid.
Yeah, it's absolutely dumb. But what do you think? Where do you weigh in on this Lamar Jackson stuff? You're the resident Ravens.
What do you expect the coach to do? He's got to stick up for his player. So I don't have a problem with Harbaugh going to bat for his player. But there has been a lot of bullshit this offseason with Lamar. He didn't show up to a lot of practices. He's pulling a lot of bullshit, and it's just like, dude, they paid you. You got paid. You got to go be a leader. You got to get in there, man. Because I'm telling you, like, teams in the AFC are coming, man. Like, don't sleep on anybody. The Dolphins are coming. The Bills, I know they lost some players, but they're coming. Like, everybody's coming. You let the Kansas City Chiefs come into your house and beat you in the AFC Championship game last year. When you were the better team, how do you go up from there? Not by missing games, not by missing practices in July. You got new players. You got new things going on. The North is going to be a bitch this year. A bitch. Pittsburgh's going to be better. The Browns are going to be good. Browns got Jerry Jeudy. Everybody forget. He's got a chance to like resurrect his career. It's Jerry Jeudy and Amari Cooper on the outside. What? Deshaun Watson...
Talk about reclamation project, yeah.
I'm sure he's going to get better, right? Joe Burrow's coming, has a lot to prove this year because he got hurt the last 2 years. Like, teams are fucking coming. And if you think you could just walk in there and just start slapping people week one with your lame-ass, like, game you got, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
No, they still need a vertical passing threat. They're hoping that they got it. Like, we'll see. I mean, Zay Flowers was good. He definitely had some issues last year in the playoffs. You know, with any luck, another year under their belt, they get a little bit better, a little bit more seasoned. But that doesn't change the fact that, you know, Lamar Jackson is best suited, I think, for a West Coast-style offense. Short passes. You know, he doesn't... He, his passing is most effective when it is like a line drive, right to Mark Andrews. Mark Andrews is his
Colin Kaepernick in that shit.
Yeah, like 95 right in the gut. Like, that's where Lamar Jackson excels. And if he doesn't have it, he gets the fuck out of Dodge. Like, that's the difference between, like, him and Michael Vick. Michael Vick could sling it.
I love how Gary Sanchez is on the Brewers. It's hilarious.
Hey, everybody's got a chance to make it again.
Everybody's got a job, yeah. I guess.
Everybody's got a chance to make it again. Joey Gallo's still employed, man. Just remember that.
My man.
So, my man.
Dominic Smith still employed. Dominic Smith.
Dom Smith is having a pretty decent year for the Red Sox, believe
decent
it or
year.
Not.
Decent year. What's he bat? Like 225?
Let's look it up.
He's not batting more than 225, is he?
Let's look it up. Exciting podcasting thing. So, 232.
Oh!
Yeah?
12 points higher. I was close. What's he got? Five home runs, 27 five RBIs?
Five homers, 28 ribbies.
27. I was close. I said 27. It's 28. I was close. And how many ribbies?
He's playing in a platoon. 28. That's as he should be playing in a platoon. He's a platoon player.
Should be playing for the fucking Renegades. Anyway, let's move on. Let's stick with quarterbacks, though. Number one draft pick, Caleb Williams, inked his rookie contract. The contract is for 4 years, guaranteed $39.49 million and $25.5 million signing bonus. But during these contract negotiations, Williams requested to be paid through an LLC rather than directly, so he could receive his salary via a forgivable loan. What the hell is going on with this guy?
I mean, we need to have a financial expert on, so, you know, maybe CJ could join us. I know his specialty is mortgages, but he might be able to discuss what's going on here. But it smells like tax evasion, man. I'm sorry. It just smells like
tax evasion. But, like, I wonder, like, when you're reading, like, probably the emails or when you're talking to the agent and you're the GM and you're like, what the fuck are they asking for right now? Like, first he wanted an ownership in the team.
Right.
And now he's asking to be paid through an LLC. He's trying to make as much money as possible. I mean, like, listen, I'm in finance. And I think what he was trying to probably do was he wants to be able to have business expenses. That's what I'm thinking. So, you know, and salary expense. And that's the only thing I can think of. And what he's trying to do, he's just trying to make as much money as possible. But his head is just in the wrong place. And you know, I was thinking about it, Z. Hold on, let me get my paperwork. I mean, this Chicago team is loaded.
Yeah. It is. And they're trying to make... They're doing for Caleb Williams what they did not do for Justin Fields.
Well, hold on a second. It's not that they didn't do it. It's like they were building up for it, right? Like if they weren't able to draft Caleb Williams this year.
You take Marvin Harrison Jr. and you still have Justin Fields.
Right. So you would have still had it. So can I interest you in this? How would you like to be the quarterback in this system?
Okay, let's hear it.
You have DeAndre Swift as your starting running back. And backing him up is Rashawn Johnson. And backing him up is Khalil Herbert.
Okay.
Then your number one wide receiver is DJ Moore. Your number two wide receiver is Keenan Allen.
Okay.
Your number three wide receiver is Rome Odunze, who they just drafted.
Who also got the bag. He got a guaranteed contract too. Fully guaranteed.
Your tight end is Cole Kmet. The backup tight end is Gerald Everett. You want to play? You want to play quarterback on this team? Because I do. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So this kid got a guaranteed 60 mil between the signing bonus and his contract. And to me, this reeks of the fact that he's trying to cash in as much as he can. Because I'm not even sure he's confident enough that he can play in this league.
I think he's confident. He drives around his little Ferrari and he really thinks he's hot shit.
Yeah, no.
He's confident. He
those Those are all the actions of a very, very insecure person.
I don't know. I think he knows. He knows he can throw the ball like 80 yards.
To the other team.
I mean, he's gonna have to be able to throw the pretty ball pretty hard in Chicago. But yeah. I mean, it's gonna be hard to lose. It's gonna be hard to not put up numbers with this offense. And you've got veterans. It's not like you got these aren't rookie. You got one rookie, but Keenan Allen's a veteran. DJ Moore is a veteran. DeAndre Swift is a veteran. Rashawn Johnson, 2 years, second year player. Khalil Herbert's a veteran. He probably could use a veteran backup. That might have been helped. That might have helped him a bit. But you gonna lose? You open up against Tennessee at home. You gonna lose that game? I'm gonna lose that game. Then you play Houston. You go to it gets a little tough. You go to Houston, then you got to go to Indiana. So, he's gonna be tested early, but
there's a chance they go 0-3. There's an absolute chance in that bear of a schedule that they go 0-3.
And you they're have too
Tyson,
good.
You have you but have Bajan, too,
they're,
Ripon.
They're too good offensively. Z. They're too good. Yeah,
names
you're
don't equate.
Your
names don't equate to success.
The bread is backing them up. Baguette.
Yeah, exactly. Chicken bread. Exactly. And then you've Brett Ripon as
you
your third.
You really think that they could possibly go 0-3, 0-4?
I think they're going they can absolutely lose to Houston.
Even Justin Fields won his first game against the 49ers.
Stranger things have happened. But you know what? Will Levis isn't a bad quarterback. In Tennessee, he's not bad. So
he's not as bad
as people think he is.
It's his first game.
You have to take into account that it's his first game. Like, there's a better chance he's going to lose than he's going
to lose. Marcus Mariota threw for like 6 touchdowns in his first game.
Yeah, and look where he is now.
Right. Look so where I'm just saying.
Right. No, that
you think he's going to think he's going to have a worse opening than Marcus Mariota?
Well, in between, he'll be between Marcus Mariota and Nathan Peterman. So somewhere in the between, that's the spectrum you're dealing
that's
with.
That's the floor and that's the ceiling.
6 picks in a quarter versus 6 touchdowns in a game. So there you go. There's the ceiling. He will be somewhere in between.
I know he's definitely a shithead. I know that, but
this league has a way of humbling people.
What was the last number one pick that really shit the bed in the opening game? Even Mark Sanchez was
a quarterback.
Yeah, Mark Sanchez wasn't a number one pick, but he won his first game. He played very well. I don't know. I don't see how he's not going to play well, at least in the beginning, because he's surrounded by talent. It's not like he's surrounded by a bunch of bozos. He's surrounded by good players. Like, these are solid. Every player I just mentioned is a solid player. They're not bad. They're not borderline. They're really good. Keenan Allen is really good. DJ Moore is really good. DeAndre Swift is really good. Like, they put together a really good team for this kid.
So, you mentioned, what number one pick? Kyler Murray. Murray, we still don't fucking know.
But how was his first game? He didn't play well?
We have to look at the schedule, but let's look at the scenario. Kyler Murray is we're still have questions about him, and he's been in the league for how many years? So it doesn't matter what kind of talent you put around.
But what talent did Kyler Murray have when he came in the league? He didn't have
Larry fucking Fitzgerald.
At the end of his career, dude.
And he can still catch better than anybody in the fucking league right
now.
Has good hands.
Larry Fitzgerald in his last year, is not as good as DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and this new kid, Roma Dunze. I'm sorry. That's not facts, man. That's not facts. And I love Larry. Larry's great, but that's not true. Like, I'm just trying to say compare what he's walking into to what other players have walked into. It's not as good. It's just not as good.
It's not as good on paper. Like, you still have to... These guys have not played one fucking snap of football together.
No.
Like you're playing this on paper. They play on the field. And that's what I'm trying to say. And this kid's going to get exposed. Right? DeAndre Swift We dogged him when he was with Detroit. He was okay. And then he went to Philly and somehow got worse. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm fucking wrong right now. No, you can't. Exactly. You can't. So DJ
Moore,
hold on.
Fine. All right. So, okay. So hear this. Okay. So Kyler Murray, his first year, he was 5-10-1 with 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions passing, 4 touchdowns rushing. You are going to tell me that Caleb is going to have a better or worse year than that?
I would say push.
64% completion. That's damn good. 3,700 yards. That's really good. You're going to push him on that.
I would push on that. I would, well, I don't think he's going to run either. I don't think that he's going to run with
no,
the
facility I don't think,
that
he, no, yeah, I don't
he's
think...
going to stand in there and he's going to take it. So I think that's going to be the issue. So,
but I think you who do you think is a better passer? You think Kyler Murray is a better passer than Caleb
I don't
Williams?
Think either one of these guys is a good passer. I don't think either one of them. Because this kid ain't done shit in the league. And people are trying, you know, like guys like Mike Wilbon, who have seen him play in high school. Like, okay, I understand. He's from your area. He's from D.C. I understand that.
Oh, Michael Wilbon is such a homer for Chicago people.
It's like, dude, he has not done it at this level. Like, he did it. He wasn't that good at USC. I'm sorry. He wasn't. Like, they sent him crying for his mom. Like, there you go. That's all you
need
to know.
Whoa, wait, time out. You're trying to say Caleb Williams wasn't good at USC?
Oh! Wasn't that good.
Oh! Wait a minute.
Wasn't that good.
Wasn't that good.
Wasn't that good. I'm sorry. Was he Peyton Manning? Like, what? Did I miss something? Was he, like, was he some sort of next level talent? No. What did USC do? Guts. That's what USC did. There you go. Like, that's what Caleb Williams is. So, he ain't done shit in this league. We will see what he becomes, but you're trying to negotiate as if you're some sort of seasoned veteran with these riders in your
all
contract.
Right, so
like
listen.
Something.
All right, so here you go. So, first, I'm looking up his first game. All right. So, it looks like in his first game, Kyler Murray faced the Lions. And they tied 27-27. Kyler Murray, and that was with Matthew Stafford on the other side. Kyler Murray, 29-54 for 308 yards and 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald were who he was working with that
day. Okay.
And you're going to, so you think that Caleb is going to have a worse day than that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Welcome to the NFL. All
right. Well, we'll find out together.
He played to a fucking tie. Like, I'm
played
sorry.
To a tie. It looks like
54 passes. Why was he throwing that much?
Why not? It looked like it was a fun game.
We don't play about fun. We don't care about fun. What do we care about?
17-3 at halftime.
Why do we play?
We play to win the game. Nobody won
play
the
to
game
have fun.
That day.
Nobody won the game that day.
Nobody won the day.
Nope.
That's cool. You can watch. You can recap the game in 14 minutes and 8 seconds. That's pretty cool. 1 minute and 24 seconds of highlights for this gem that was played in 2019. It's pretty impressive to me. But anyways,
a minute 24. The Express.
Express. In more quarterback contract news, promising Packers quarterback Jordan Love will not practice until he receives a new deal, per Adam Schefter, your boy. Love is at training camp and is participating in meetings and other activities. He's just not practicing. So how long will this drag out, and how will this impact both Love and the Packers?
Well, if he's not practicing, you know, there's less chance he's going to get hurt. So that's nice. You know, he may get hurt in the weight room. He may get a hangnail during a meeting, there are some things, but you know, there's a less of a chance that he can get hurt because he's not practicing. But at the same time, it's rust, right? You definitely need to reestablish your rapport with your receivers. You need to get in some semblance of a rhythm. If anything, you know, anything is true, right? Think about what we did, what we were talking about with guys like Jordan Montgomery and JD Martinez and guys that just kind of walked off the street and tried to do what they do normally. They have not been very good. JD Martinez is the exception because he went down and spent 2 weeks in the minor leagues and then came back up.
He's also very obsessive.
Yeah.
He's an obsessive person. Like, he obsesses over hitting. So,
yeah. He's a savant. That guy is truly a savant. But, you know, a guy like Blake Snell.
It's like, Snell.
And just roll out of bed and I'll just dominate. Did his ERA come below 9 yet? So, I think he's still hurt.
He's still hurt. Yeah.
He's still hurt. So, his ERA is still at 9. So, there you go. And Monty, I think, is hurt now, too. So, there's something to be said about making sure that you're in shape. Now, thankfully for him, he's in camp. So he can do, you know, some semblance of conditioning with the coaches and the, you know, health and nutrition staff and things like that. Now, when is it got? It's got to get done before opening day, wouldn't you say? Like, it's got to get done before week one. So I think it would do them the best if they get this done within 2 weeks. If I'm Goop Kunst and I'm Jordan Love's representative, I'm trying to get this done as soon as possible so I get my client out on the field and get him playing. Because the ceiling is high for the Packers based on last year, right? They outkicked our coverage. I think we both had them in last place last year. And they certainly proved us wrong. They certainly did.
Yeah, I had their manager getting fired.
Right. Well, LaFleur is always a good candidate. LaFleur. Fired. LaFleur.
Their head coach, rather say their manager. Their head coach.
Yeah, LaFleur is always a candidate. He might be a candidate to get fired this year. He's just on the, you know, if they underachieve, goodbye. But, you know, this is an opportunity. This is a winnable division. We don't know if the Lions can do it 2 years in a row. We don't know what the Vikings are going to have with J.J. McCarthy. And we don't know what the Bears are going to have with Caleb Williams, as we've just said. You know, loaded. Well, what do we have at quarterback? So it would behoove them to get this done ASAP. And that will allow the team to move forward. Because not only do they need to be ready, they got to travel. They're in Brazil week one.
Brazil.
They're playing that Friday game against the Eagles. Where nobody can wear green. It's weird. Well, because of the gangs. But... you know, if I'm Jordan Love, I'm like, I go to my agent, like, get this done as soon as possible. And if I'm representing myself, I'm like, let's get into a room here. Like, I'm not practicing. Let's talk.
I mean, I don't know. There's really nothing to talk about. I mean, it's like, he can dictate the flow of this. You're not going to be able to replace Jordan Love. You're not going to start over if you're the Packers. Especially with how he played last year in the playoffs. Like, they almost beat the 49ers. And they went into Dallas and slapped them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, they've young receivers. Like, it's clear that their GM knew what he was doing. And everybody in the New York media was making fun of him for not keeping Rodgers and getting rid of Rodgers. Looks like this motherfucker knows what he's doing. Because
I think so.
Their team is, I think, they're another team that's super talented with their young wide receivers. Josh Jacobs playing running back for them. And... mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you just got to basically give him what he wants. But unlike Lamar, I kind of understand what he's doing. Like, I'm not going to practice and I'm not going to go out there until I get my money, until I get my contract. Like, I'm not going to get hurt on my current deal. Like, where's my extension? You've got to pay me. I clearly showed you that I'm the quarterback of the future. You're not going to start over. I'm not Justin Fields. I'm not Kenny Pickett. So you're going to have to pay me whatever my agent's asking for. There's no wiggle room here, Z, because franchise quarterbacks are a dying breed. There's not a lot of them. You know, look at what other teams have gone through. Look at what the Browns had to give up and what they've gone through to have to get their quarterback. Look at what the Steelers wanted up doing because they didn't have a guy. They didn't have their guy, and they got rid of it. Look at the Jets. Look what the Jets have been through. So,
and I would argue that none of those guys have their quarterback. I would argue that. Deshaun Watson, don't know. Russ, don't know. Justin Fields, don't know. And then Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers is a goddamn head case.
That's fine, Z, but what's the alternative?
The alternative
what's
is...
What's the alternative? So, like, the teams that you just named, they brought in Wilson and they brought in Fields. What else could they what else could they possibly do? If they didn't have those two guys, who would they have?
Steelers would have had Pickett, who was not great, who was not good.
Right, right.
But it's another year in the wilderness. I would argue with you. I could argue with you that it's another year in the wilderness for the Steelers regardless. Like, they're fine. They didn't get better. Kenny Pickett? Eh. Justin Fields? Eh.
What?
Russell Wilson? What? Eh.
You're kidding. You're telling me, given the choice, if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, given the choice between playing Kenny Pickett, Justin Fields, or Russell Wilson, you're going to pick Kenny Pickett?
No.
Oh,
what
okay.
I'm saying is that it's a fucking wash between all three of them. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, but out of the three of them, which one would you rather have?
Justin Fields. Of the three,
right.
Justin Fields.
You're not going to take Kenny Pickett, right. So same thing with the Jets. Jets, you can have Aaron Rodgers or you can have Zach Wilson. Who are you taking?
You have to take Aaron Rodgers because Zach Wilson is terrible.
Right.
But you don't have to. It's a forced choice. You suck for a year and you get somebody else. That's what you've been doing.
But there's nobody else. You don't know. That's the whole thing, is you don't know what is going to happen. You don't know what's going to come in the draft. You have no idea. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, that's why Jordan Love has all the leverage, because you don't have a choice. If you don't give me my money, you're going to suck this year, and then you don't know what you're going to get next year. And I'm gone, and someone in this league is going to pay me top dollar, because a team like the Seahawks is going to be like, well, we don't – Chino is what we had to take. We don't really want him. Like, you know, other teams will have the chance to upgrade. That's what I'm trying to say. He has all the leverage. In today's NFL, if you don't have a franchise quarterback, you're not winning. I know we're going to do our picks in a couple of weeks, but there's really only 10 teams that could possibly win the Super Bowl because they have an elite quarterback.
Now, here's what I'm saying to you, though. The longer this drags out, Jordan Love loses all of his leverage, and here's why. Because the Packers start to suck, the fans will turn on him.
They won't let it get there. It's not going to be like an Emmitt Smith situation where he doesn't come in until like week four or week three. They're going to wind up probably giving him a deal like probably, I'd say, 2 weeks or 3 weeks before camp breaks. Like, that's when they're going to wind up giving him his deal. Because at some point you're like, well, we need the fucking quarterback here to run the offense. So what are we talking about? Like, even they're saying they're close. We don't know if that's true. That could be bullshit. But what are we talking about here? We're talking about $5 million? We're talking about $15 million? Like, how much are we talking about?
Right, that's a good question.
Like, you see what I'm trying to say? Like, at the end of the day, it could be just nuances in the contract or nuances in the deal. It could be about guaranteed money. It could be about deferred dollars, because people like to do that shit now. Like, it's something like that where at some point you're like, oh, fuck it. Like, I got to put a team on the field. I can't be running the first team with Zach Wilson out here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, look, that's another situation. Look at Denver. That's what happens in Denver when you miss on your quarterback. Now, granted, Nix might be the guy and he might be well, but there you got three guys, and really, I don't know. I don't know who should start. I don't know. I would say just go with Nix, because who gives a shit at this point? You know what I mean?
That's why you have a competition in camp, when you have guys who are of similar skill set. Like, it's going to be a competition in camp in Pittsburgh too, regardless of what
you can't
Coach
tell
Tomlin
me.
Says.
You can't tell me that Sean Payton is not drinking every night, that he is watching this quarterback competition he's put together.
Oh, completely, and it's
every night
design.
He's like, "Fuck, man, what the hell?"
Fuck
throw me. It to the open receiver, damn it. We got Bo Nix, Jared Stidham, and fucking Zach Wilson.
You got it.
He's motherfucking all over that field all day long. God damn it, Zach. Hit the receiver. The receiver. Not the corner. The receiver. Put it where you want to put it. Gosh damn it. Yeah, you know what I mean?
No.
So
no, completely. It is of their own. All of these situations are of their own doing. That's the thing. And the Jets didn't have to do what they need, what they did with Rodgers. They sold their soul. We completely have gone over this ad nauseum. The Cleveland Browns situation, that was a clusterfuck in and of itself, mostly because of the off the field stuff with Deshaun Watson. Now the
Well, if we think about it, right? The whole thing was is they didn't think Baker was the guy. And he didn't fit with whatever they were doing there. And that's why they got into that situation, because they were like, okay, Baker's not the guy. This guy is in a lot of trouble down in Houston. We can get him out of there. He's talented, and we can bring him here. And then Baker winds up going to like 2-3 more places, but now he looked good last year. He looked the way he's supposed to look for what he is and who he's playing with. Like, what does it take for Baker Mayfield to look good? Two top 20 wide receivers, a tight end, and a decent passing offense, right? Like, he has
an offensive line that's not going to get him killed.
I don't know if the Bucs offensive line's that great, but they have good running back in White. They got two wide receivers that are legit. They have a good tight end. They had a good quarterback coach last year. They have a good offense. Like, that's what it took. You know, Baker's first year wasn't that bad. I believe they went toe-to-toe with
They had a lead on the Chiefs in the playoffs, right, if I right. remember.
They had, yeah, and then, and then it went, they lost in the second half.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing happened to the Texans, where they had the Chiefs on the ropes, and they lost it in the second half. So, it just, you know, the lengths you go to have a quarterback, and this is why he's going to get what there's no bar, there's no negotiating power here. You don't have any power.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
So moving on to baseball. Major League Baseball enshrined its newest Hall of Famers on Sunday in Cooperstown. Todd Helton, Jim Leland, Adrian Beltre, and Joe Mauer joined the hallowed halls, but the attention has already shifted to next year's class, where Felix Hernandez, CeCe Sabathia, and Ichiro are the marquee first-timers on the ballot. Will any of them get in on the first ballot, and if so, who?
There's an argument to be made that all three of these guys will get in on the first ballot. The question is, what percentage? You need 65. Now, Felix Hernandez, he has a sigh, got a perfecto. He's got some bona fides. Sabathia, got a sigh, got a ring. He has bona fides. Of the three, the biggest slam dunk is Ichiro.
Yeah.
Yeah. 3,000 hits in Japan, right? Between America and Japan, 3,000 hits. Absolute stud defender. What more can you ask for? Ichiro is the total package.
Is there any chance that he gets in 100%?
He should be. Like, I think he's the closest thing to a slam dunk. Now, they got Mariano Rivera in.
Yeah,
he was the only one.
Wow.
He was the only one. And some of it, you know, that's petty bullshit. Now, will the writers today, I think, will be a little bit less of a guardian of the game than in years past. Like, if Ichiro was here in the 80s and he did this in the 80s, there's a chance that somebody would have left him off because he was Japanese. Like, there's, you know, there was always that chance. But this day and age, I don't think there's anybody in their right fucking mind who would leave Ichiro off or not give him that stature. Like, what more did you need to see from Ichiro? What more could he have done? What, be a 500 home run guy? Like, he could have done it if he wanted to, right?
Yeah.
Like, he could have, mm-hmm. didn't, chose not to. Mm-hmm. He could have done it anytime he wanted. But as far as I'm concerned, all three of them could. Most likely is Ichiro. I would say if there's going to be two, CC Sabathia over Felix Hernandez. But yeah. Ichiro
sure.
absolutely has to be in there, and Ichiro has to be unanimous.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious to see how many votes he gets. And who's yeah. going to be the guy that's going to leave him off the ballot for somebody else. Because in my opinion, this isn't the strongest draft class. So you can still vote for Ichiro and still get your guy in. Like, you know, I Felix to me is not a first ballot. You know,
he's down the line.
Yeah.
Close.
He should definitely, King Felix should definitely get in. I just don't put him in the same category as Sabathia, who did it in multiple places, won a World Series, like, was the horse on his team, and then later in his career figured it out, learned how to change speeds, dialed it back, like, figured out better ways to stay in the game, lost some weight, like, you know, kind of figured it out. Like, I have a lot of respect for CC Sabathia. I'm not a big Yankee guy, but I do have a respect for what he was able to do. And, you know, it's just, you wonder, like, if Ichiro spent his whole career in the U.S. and in Major League Baseball, what his numbers would look like. I mean, it would have been really amazing.
It's a great question. Now, I mean, just do a quick apples-to-apples comparison between Sabathia and Hernandez. Felix Hernandez pitched in 100 fewer games. Now, injuries did kind of weigh on him. He pitched about 800 fewer innings. Sabathia was 251 and 161 for his career. Hernandez was 169, 136. CC Sabathia has him beat in a lot of categories, many categories. Better ERA slightly for King Felix, 342 compared to 374. Fewer walks, better K percentage, and slightly lower walk percentage by 0.2%. So, like, comparable, but Sabathia was better. Now, Sabathia also started when he was 20. So he pitched till, I believe, he was 38. So he had a nice long career there. But you're absolutely right. Like, he realized that body wasn't holding up. So good on him for augmenting how he plays. And emphasis on changing speeds. Ichiro, 19-year career, so career 311, 117, 3,089 hits, 780 ribbies, 509 stolen bases. So, yeah, that I would have been interested to see if he played here the entire time. He was a 10-time All-Star here. 10-time Gold Glover. 2-time batting title. MVP. Like, what more could he have done if he was here the entire time? So, and, you know, it's one of those things that the question becomes, who else is going to be down the ballot, right? Because you have guys like Andrew Jones who are close, Billy Wagner. Are those guys going to be taking spots? Are those guys going to be taking votes away from the new guys? Because I mean, you have other guys like Ian Kinsler and Dustin Pedroia. Like, those guys aren't Hall of Famers.
No,
Petey's not a Hall of Famer.
No.
Ian Kinsler's not a Hall of Famer.
No.
It's these three. No. Now, Pedroia is an interesting case. He's an interesting case of what could have been. Right, little guy, but had a lot of power, and at the end, he just couldn't stay healthy. So it's a curious case of what could have been, but Dustin Pedroia.
Well, it just took every ounce of him,
yeah,
to play in major leagues, and he just couldn't do it. He couldn't sustain it for as long. I mean, if you remember, he was batting fourth in that lineup, and he was protecting Big Poppy, which is crazy. Or Big Poppy was protecting him, rather say.
Which is nuts. It's funny. It's hilarious. Did you ever hear the story about Pedroia? Like that David Ortiz never knew that Dustin Pedroia's name was Dustin. He always thought his name was Petey.
Huh.
Or like, so he was like, "What the fuck did he just call you?" It's like, "Huh? He called me my name." It's like, "No. What do you? My name's Dustin." Oh shit! I thought your name was Petey, man.
Oh shit, man! I know.
Your name was Petey. I'm sorry, dude. I was ready to fight this guy because I thought he was insulting you. That's a good teammate right there. But, you know, like speaking of David Ortiz, he got one last head rub in on Adrian Beltre. Like, just, he's a character.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, coming down the pipe here, I mean, the Hall of Fame is definitely, it's going to be interesting moving forward. And I know you're not the de facto guardian of it. To a degree, because of the Hall of Very Good that it's become.
Yeah, it's a shame. But pettiness and Bush League behavior is alive and well in Major League Baseball.
That is.
Rays outfielder Jose Siri and shortstop Jose Caballero took their sweet ass time around the bases, pimping their homers against the Yankees. I should know Caballero because he's on my fantasy team. Caballero stopped, stood on third, and saluted before finishing his trot. I love it. In response, Juan Soto had a leisurely 37-second homer stroll. Siri responded with another pimp job that drew the ire of Aaron Judge. Has baseball gotten out of hand, or is this an isolated incident?
Baseball's absolutely gotten out of hand, man. Like, I understand the whole flair, and we want these guys to have personality. And, you know, it goes back to Joey Bats with the bat flips. And no. What you consider, and I don't mean you. I mean Major League Baseball.
You.
And what I mean, you. The royal you. Capital Y-O-U. What you consider personality is bad sportsmanship. What you consider personality is showing up your opponent. What you consider personality is rubbing somebody's nose in it. And you don't understand why people get pissed off when they get their nose rubbed in it. That doesn't make sense to me. If I got my nose rubbed in every failure that I've ever had, I'd be pretty pissed off. And I'd want to lash out at somebody. So, there was an interesting story. I forget who was telling it, but it was about Doug Linton and Albert Bell. Oh, David Wells. I think he was on with John Boy, and he was talking about this. Doug Linton had hit four batters, and David Wells had to retaliate. He was he was sticking up for his teammates. The first guy up is Albert Bell. It's like, fuck, it's Albert Bell. So he does what he's got to do. He takes care of his teammates. You don't think pitchers are gonna take care of each other? You don't think that there's gonna be a level of policing here? There should be. All right? We used to laud guys like Nolan Ryan. We used to laud guys like Pedro Martinez, Roger Clemens. Like, we used to, lionize guys like that who took care of business so that way it didn't become an issue. Now, it seems like it's an issue all the time. People don't get brushed back, or people don't get taken care of. And if they do get brushed back, it becomes a, whoa, what the fuck? What are you doing? I'm enforcing the rules. The unwritten rules of the game. You're going to act like a dick, you're going to get dusted. Like, that's what allowed this game to survive for so long. It wasn't Major League Baseball. It wasn't legislated into the game. The players took care of it themselves. And then it was over. Right? You don't have the bad blood. It doesn't linger all the time. Because the Yankees probably have to go back to Tampa. If we look at the schedule, I'm sure they're there one more time. This isn't going to fester. This isn't going to rear its ugly head again. Jose Siri's not going to do this again. Jose Siri's only hit 14 home runs. I think he's done this 14 times. Like, Juan Soto will do a fucking moonwalk. He'll do a cartwheel around the bases now. And the pitchers are just supposed to be okay with it. I get the counter side of the argument. Okay, if you don't want the pimp job, don't give up the homer. I understand what you're saying. I don't agree with it. At the end of the day, these are professional sports. You have to act like a professional. There's a certain way that you comport yourself. And if you don't comport yourself in that way, you suffer the consequences. It's as simple as that. And Caballero, you're fucking standing on third base saluting? Like, what is that? Like, Giancarlo Stanton does the handoff at third base with Luis Rojas. That shit just bugs me. Trot around the bases, high five your fucking teammates, and then go sit in the dugout. Right? Whatever you do in the dugout, that's fine. Like, you have your wheelbarrow, the Mets have their oh my god sign. Like, there's a Viking helmet for the Twins, I think. Like, whatever crazy shit you want to do in the dugout, fine. Have at it. You don't need to do it on the field. You don't need to rub your opponent's face in it. Because eventually, you're going to be wearing something. You're going to be wearing about 95 to the ribs.
Yeah, I mean, this is just what baseball does, right? I mean, you can't take personal offense to it. You do it once, Soto does. Do it right back at him. You know, the object is not to get him by hitting their players, like your pitcher punking their players, but go and hit a home run on them. And you take a long trot, and you do a salute to them. Gamesmanship. It doesn't have to be so personal. It doesn't have to be drilling people and affecting people's careers. You send the messages in other ways. And so I don't think baseball has a problem. This is what baseball has been doing for forever. And if anything, these guys are a lot softer than, the guys from like 20, 30 years ago.
But that's exactly my point, is that you're saying it's not personal. Guys are certainly fucking taking it personally. They're absolutely getting in their feelings about this shit. And
I think it makes it fun. I don't like to see people getting drilled, but I like how Juan Soto, took 37 seconds and took his time. And it's like, okay, you want to do that? It adds a mantra to the game. It adds something where, it gives the game some personality, especially they had the audacity. Wait, this game was even this game was in New York, wasn't it?
It was in the Bronx, yeah.
Yeah, so they had the audacity to do this in Yankee Stadium. So it's like, okay. All right, wait till we get up. We get to hit two. Like, oh, wait till we get down to Tampa. You got to remember, this is little brother looking up at big brother, because the Tampa Bay Rays are still behind the Yankees in the standings. So I think it's fine. I don't want to see people get hurt. I like the whole thing of the hitters going at it and the pitchers not drilling people. I don't like when people get hit.
Nah, I'm not with that. Respectfully, I disagree. Like, player, you step in that box, you own the plate now. That's not the way it used to be. Like, they can dig a hole, they can have a fucking beverage delivered to the friggin' the batter's box. No. The pitcher owned that plate. Like, you try digging a hole, you dig, you get comfortable, you're gonna get dusted. Whether it's Pedro, whether it's Bob Gibson, whether it's Nolan Ryan,
oh man,
Roger Clemens,
Pedro, take your head off, man.
Pedro sent Alfonso Soriano and Derek Jeter to the hospital, consecutive hitters in the same ambulance. You don't fuck with Pedro Martinez,
bitches.
Putas. So, like, and we lionized guys like that, and we still do. Now, like, Greg Maddux plunked a couple of guys in his day, but he knew where to do it. I'm not saying you headhunt. I'm just saying you hit him in the soft part. You hit him in the ass. Like, that's it. Move on. That policed it. Like, they figured out quickly, players figured out quickly that, yeah, you fucked up and I paid for it. That doesn't wear well in a clubhouse. Like, you keep doing this shit and then other guys around you keep dropping, like, that's not going to be cool. That's absolutely not going to be cool. So, that's one of those things baseball definitely needs to clean up. Like, I understand you want people to be excited about the product. let the game, let the actual action be the excitement. It doesn't need to be the histrionics, right? And that's what bothers me about like the celebrations in NFL too. Like, it's gotten so choreographed and it's gotten so out of hand. I'm not saying you have to be Barry Sanders and give the ball to the official and go to the sideline. But does it have to be it's a routine. Does it have to be that? And I get it. I get it. I'm not the person that they're catering to right now. I like professionalism and my professional athleticism. Sorry. But there's a time and place to celebrate. There's absolutely such a thing as celebrating too much. So I think that eventually it's going to get back to that. But Major League Baseball is kind of living in this moment. It's trying to grow the game for the younger fans. This is what they think the fans want. I don't think that's sustainable. And I really don't think that that's going to do what they think is going to happen. I don't think it's going to do what they want it to do. It's still going to be for guys like you, guys like me, guys that grew up with baseball as the national pastime. Like, whether they want to admit it or not, guys like us, we're still their target demographic. No matter how much they try to chase us off, we're still going to be there. Like Larry David Wood said, fuck you and I'll see you tomorrow.
When owning a home, it's important to have heating and cooling professional available when things go wrong. AirCare Technicians is a veteran-owned HVAC company servicing the Westchester area. They are licensed to service, repair, maintenance, and replace all HVAC units. If your unit is not running properly or you would like to improve the air quality in your home, contact AirCare Technicians for a free quote. They offer same-day and emergency services for all of your needs. You can reach them at 914-315-1547. AirCare Technicians, 914-315-1547.
More or less?
All right, boys and girls, we have a very special edition of More or Less today. We're about a week out from the Major League Baseball trade deadline, and we have specific players, and it's going to be either more or less likely that they get traded. More or less, number one, Garrett Crochet.
Garrett Crochet. Sure about this guy. Let's see what he's got going on here.
Well, I mean, he is a starter this year. They just put him into the rotation. It was one of those things that we were kind of concerned at the beginning of the year because of the fact that he had never pitched this much before. Lefty, and now, right? He's been pretty good.
He's a lefty, 25 lefty
for the White
old.
Sox, yeah.
Swat with 3 ERA, 6-6 on the year. I'm going to go more likely.
I'm going to go less likely. Just from the simple standpoint that they want a shit ton of people. They want prospects. They want the Dylan Cease trade in the middle of the year. I don't know if they can pull off a Dylan Cease type trade in the middle of the year. I don't know if they can pull off a Juan Soto type trade in the middle of the year. Yes, Juan Soto got moved in the middle of the year to the Padres from the Nationals. But with the White Sox, Crochet is linked to the Astros. He's linked to the Yankees. The Yankees might be able to pull this off if they're willing to include a guy like Dominguez or Spencer Jones. The White Sox aren't fucking around. They want your top guys. This guy's under team control. He's only 25. So that's something that needs to be considered here. Like, you're paying a premium for a guy that you're going to have for a few more years. But this, in my opinion, gets done in the winter meetings, not now. More or less likely, Tarik Skubal.
I'm going to go less likely. I think they're going to keep him. I mean, he's really good, and I don't think anybody's going to pay the ransom for him. And I think he's with the Tigers, right? I think
he's with the Tigers, yeah.
Yeah, I think the Tigers have a chance of really turning things around next year.
10-3-2-4-1.
Another guy.
140 strikeouts. Team. Yeah. 140 strikeouts in 116 innings. All-star. I got to go less likely, too. They're in this thing.
They are.
They're in.
They're good. Like, they're good. They're good. They're, yeah. Who's their center fielder, Green, or is he their right fielder? He's really good.
Riley Green, yeah.
He's on my fantasy team. Like,
yeah. Like, he's like, they have good players in Javi Baez. If they could somehow jettison Javi Baez, I think that they would be, people would be more serious about them. But, I mean, Skubal, he has three more years. I think he's a free agent in 2027. So if you were to pick him up, you got 2 years of arbitration eligibility. But I got to say that, you know, the Tigers are the very definition of one of those teams that benefits from having that third wild card. Like, Jack Flaherty is also on that team. Why would I trade Jack Flaherty? I'm only a couple games back of a wild card. Why would I do that? It doesn't make any sense to me. If anything, I'm going to bolster and I'm going to make a run. So I don't know. I don't see it. And if they do it again, I think that's a winter meeting move, because you're going to want the sun and the moon and the stars for this guy. He's a lefty. He's proving to be a stud, and he's under contract. Come on. The stars align for the winter meetings on that one. More or less, number three, Cody Bellinger.
I don't know anybody could really use his services. I'm going to say less likely. He's not really lighting it. He's not really lighting it up where it's like, oh, we got to have him, like the other two guys we just mentioned.
Yeah. He's an intriguing case because of his contract. He signed a three-year deal, but it's an opt-out after one.
29 years old.
Yeah. So, who could use him? It's the question, right? He can play the outfield. He can play first base. He is versatile, right? Like, he's doing all right. 269.9. Not what you want in terms of power. No, he's not really delivering. Not yeah. The peripherals aren't bad, but the power just isn't there.
No, five stolen bases. There's like, he's just okay. Like, yeah. I got a guy on the bench that could do this.
I'm going more likely. It might not cost you that much. And so that might be a low rent kind of situation. Maybe the Orioles. Maybe the Mariners. They just DFA'd Ty France. They're going to give time to the rookie.
If Ty France is like, what? Me? Are you serious?
What did I do? Like, I've been here. Like, I've been doing it. I've been.
My man, you put this on the wrong locker.
They red tagged me, didn't they? You better believe it. You think I'm shit now? I'm going to catch on somewhere else. I'm going to stick it to you, Mr. Brown. But, I mean, Cody Bell, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a reunion with the Dodgers, man. Like, it's possible. Anything's possible. The Braves could use him. The Braves need people.
We need
warm bodies.
No. It's over, guys. It's over. It was over a month ago. It's fucking over now. We just lost our second baseman for fucking 2 months.
You brought in Whit Merrifield, though.
Yeah, fantastic. Can't wait. What a mess.
he provides versatility. I think that's the one thing that's going to maybe increase his market a little bit. So I have a feeling that anywhere he ends up, he opts out. Like, that's where my mind is on him. I really don't. I mean, he could end up with the Astros because they need a first. They're looking for a first baseman. I know they were tied to Vladdy, but Vladdy doesn't want to leave Toronto. You know, they've been trying to piece that together. John Singleton is there. Jose Abreu didn't work. So maybe Cody Bellinger would end up with the Astros. But that would kind of be like the only like team I can think of. But based on what's going on, you know, based on the length of the contract and the terms with which he signed, I gotta think more likely. We still have a week. Things could happen, and markets could change. Injuries could happen. Like, Ozzy Albies just got hurt. Like you just said, Max Fried just got hurt.
Yeah,
like, that alters plans, right? Like, yeah, you got to figure that Alex Anthopoulos is going to be a little bit more aggressive now. He went and signed Whit Merrifield. Maybe he needs to go get a pitcher now. Like, we're still a week out. So we're going to be monitoring this, and we're going to go from there.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ. Who is the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at Fade Route Podcast, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know, D, who took home the coveted ass trophy last week? So that would be CONMEBOL. That would be CONMEBOL for the ruckus between Charlotte and Miami, for the shit show that was the end of Copa America. That is fully on CONMEBOL. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, so first up, I've got Team USA Basketball. I know these are exhibition games, but where would they be without LeBron right now? LeBron closing in on 40 is helping Team USA beat South Sudan and Germany. Everybody else has got to wake up. This dude is not going to be here forever. Like, we got to get our shit together. Number two, Jimmy Paxton. 8-2 with a 4.3 ERA. DFA'd by the Dodgers. Gave up two runs on three pitches yesterday. Well done, Jimmy. And number three, I'm going to go with the New York Yankees. Through yesterday, the Yankees hit into 95 double plays. Just to put that into perspective, the Orioles, who are in first place in the East, have only hit into 42 double plays. Yankees lowered the bases in the first and the second innings on Sundays and came away with no runs. New York Yankees, you are my Alleged Superstars of the Week. What do you got, Z?
I mean, good choices. The Yankees are freaking terrible. They've lost 21 of their last 31 games.
Solid.
That is, yeah. What more can you say about the New York MF Yankees? See, you went with the USA men. I'm going with the USA women. You're the best of the best, right? You're the team that got chosen to represent our country in Paris in a very short period of time, and you got whooped by the WNBA All-Stars, 119-107. Now, the saving grace for you guys is that the last time you did this, you won the gold medal. So there's that. But still, it's not a good look. It makes you think, hey, maybe we picked the wrong players. USA Women's Basketball, you are my alleged superstar of the week, Jose Siri. What more do I need to say about Jose Siri and his pimp jobs? Like, it's old, it's tired, you're going to get your teammates hurt, because somebody is going to take exception to it, not just me. Somebody who throws a baseball a lot harder than I do will take exception to that. And then shit really gonna hit the fan. Jose Siri, learn how to be a professional. You are my alleged superstar of the week. And then last but not least, Enzo Fernandez. So he's the poster boy for this, but a lot of the Argentinian national team, not Messi, not Emi Martinez, not Julian Alvarez, not, I believe, Lisandro or Lautaro Martinez, but a vast majority of Argentinian national players were caught on video singing a racially derogatory song on the bus after winning Copa America, trolling the French. The nature of the song was that the French players, the air quote French players, are actually from Angola, from Cameroon, from other countries that France has colonized. That they're not actually French because they're not, you know, they're from other nations that fly under the French flag. I understand. I had an offline conversation with our boy Gil, and I understand the argument to be made. Like, you're talking about the, you know, you're talking about colonization. You're talking about the fact that, yeah, they're French, like, but they're not really French because of all that. No. I understand what you're saying. Was not the time, was not the place, and yeah, no, it came off as horribly racist, and it could have been done without. It should have been done without. And Enzo Fernandez tried to come out and squelch it and get ahead of it on social media, issuing an apology, and it actually made matters worse. So there's that. And now he's got to go back to Chelsea, where he's got players of French descent who play on that team. And now he's got to look those players in the eye and be like, I'm not racist. Really? Because we got you on video, buddy. Enzo Fernandez, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRouteDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast and vote. And vote, and vote, and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.